All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024, and we are back with your Week 21 weekend preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Matty K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
All right, man. Yeah, it's March already. Big month. I know a lot of people have birthdays in March. Mine's like 2 weeks from today. Wait, don't we have the same birthday?
Oh, man. It's got to be.
I thought we had the same birthday.
2 weeks of today. So is yours March 19th?
Yeah. Don't we have the same birthday, right?
I'm like blown away right now. I know this is part of some joke. Jeez. Oh, man. Wait, what's the Office joke that I'm missing out on?
No, it was so Michael Scott calls his boss and says like, oh, hey, it's your birthday, too. Like, and he's like, wait, no, it's not. And he's like, oh, well, I thought we had the same birthday. Like,
was it like Michael's way of getting like an extra gift, an extra
him to say happy birthday? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Michael. I don't know why of all the jokes this sticks with me. It's the one where he sticks his foot in the Foreman grill for some reason. That one just like somehow just is so like emblazoned in memory.
Oh, that was actually, I think that was one of the first episodes of The Office I saw.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. And then I think like it's referenced later on when like, you know, like he takes everyone in the office back over to his house. And then afterwards, like, you know, you just kind of stare at the Foreman grill.
It smells like feet.
And it was like, yeah, like, wait, is that the one that you're talking about before? And I was like, oh, God.
But joke missed. It is Jay's birthday today. Happy birthday, Jay.
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone will learn a day late.
But yeah, no, it's been a great night for hockey so far. My goodness, Oilers tied it up with, what, a minute ago in the third. And obviously, Draisaitl scored as well. Congratulations, Alan, on the trade right before on the deadline as well. Oh, it's
perfect jettison of Kucherov ever.
With the 3-2-2 upcoming weeks, yes, indeed. Get off that train before. It's been a good and wild last few weeks of the regular season for our fantasy hockey listeners. Hope you are already sitting pretty and comfortable with a playoff spot berthed for you. Possibly even a playoff bye in hands and in the cards. And I hope you're doing some fantasy playoff duteous strategizing. Yeah, aside from that, like if you're also like me, fighting hard in our listener league to try to, I guess Alan as well, fighting hard in our listener league.
I know, yeah.
To try to get...
Well, just to let everyone know how close the listener league is.
Draisaitl just scored 21. The game winner.
Nice. It's week 21, and we only have two teams that have clinched playoff spots, and they did it this week.
Yeah, it's been so tight. It's been literally the tightest fantasy
Certainly the tightest league I've ever been in. Yeah,
fantasy playoff push. It is tight. It is a good... I'm not trying to upsell our league here, Alan, but it's pretty fun and it's bangers relevant, I guess. I guess what was the one that Matty K mentioned? He said it's the league where Adam Larson and Adam Fox both hold fantasy relevance. And I thought that was probably like
right? One
of the best telltale ways of describing like a bangers league in an aspect. I guess we can jump down to our injury report to start.
Yeah, let's take it around the league. Jack Eichel returned last night, which now Vegas has moved Mark Stone, LTIR, to give them that salary cap bump. He only had 19:55 time on ice, which is, that is the good part, but he only had 5 shots. Nothing to show for it, but again, first game back. But an integral part of the Knights going into their playoff push there.
Yeah, and I think the big one with Eichel as well is just checking to see who's going to take the backseat with Eichel returning, because I don't really remember one bona fide line one center, or I guess any player.
I want to say, I think it seemed like Nick
Waugh
or Roy. whichever, I think it's Nick Waugh. I think he's a Waugh. Nick Waugh, I think, was getting 1C or 2C deployment. I think, he was playing with Marchessault.
But were they splitting the time up in a way where the first, second, and third line centers were all taking up a fair amount of time? But then again, maybe...
Probably. It's a West Coast teams or Western Conference team, so they like to do that.
Yeah, because I was looking, too, like, even with Eichel's return, and this could be one where it's because of his return, or it could just be just Vegas in general. Now, I guess 1955 time on ice is not... It's not bad. It's pretty...
It's bad. It's 1C time.
It's 1C time. But, like, it's not, you know, a McDavid 23-24-minute breakup, you know? No. So...
Or Eichel of Buffalo.
Jeez, yeah, no wonder his back got hurt. My goodness, he was just thrown out there to the Wolves night in, night out. I guess next in our injury report is Dylan Larkin. We're heading over to Detroit. Dylan Larkin has a lower body injury. He's going to be out and miss the next 2 weeks. So I know, Alan, we checked on their schedules, but let's look at this week's schedule. They have, what, three games? And then in week 22, they have a four-game slate. And so it looks like, yeah, Detroit might be worth owning, maybe not for week 21, but maybe for week 22. With Dylan Larkin out, just realize and recognize that there is an opportunity for a first-line center, at least for in the coming 2 weeks.
Right, and then... Gabe Vilardi, Winnipeg, out with an upper body injury. I don't remember hearing anything about this, but this definitely hurts them. They're definitely a team that's pushing hard, and I don't know, they've been pretty Jekyll and Hyde lately. Yeah. I wonder if this means they go out and get a, I think they had him on the wing, go out and get a winger.
I guess, if anything, like, that team is defined by the potential on that team, right? Like, it be it injury, be it players not getting deployed, be it players being deployed and just not matching up and playing. Like, Vilardi's done pretty well, but we've always described him as a streaky player. And then, obviously, Nikolaj Ehlers is the other big name. I don't even know who I would suggest as a pickup. Maybe Alex Iafallo. The next on the list is Adrian Kempe. So, Kempe is out with an upper body injury, and he is considered a bit more long-term. It's a week-to-week injury. He is expected to be back at the end of March. End of March means fantasy playoffs, quarterfinals, and semifinals have ended. He's going to be right there for your fantasy finals, assuming your fantasy finals are in week 25.
At this point, maybe a guy that you drop if you're hurting for that IR spot.
100%, yeah. And I would say, too, like, monitor, like, it looks like he has a good week 25 schedule. LA plays 4 games, 2 off nights. The reality is you need to get through quarters and semis before you can even sniff finals. So you might have to make some active, you know, roster shuffles in order to get you to finals.
And then Alex Wennberg of the Seattle Kraken out for trade-related purposes. I'm sure the first of many guys we'll see that for this week. I think I've heard New York is probably the one of, if not the team that's in on him.
The Rangers?
Which makes sense. They lost, Hedl beginning of the season.
Right.
He was out for a while, came back, and then I suffered some kind of setback. I mean, yeah, they've slotted Trocheck in as that 2C, and it's been awesome for fantasy. But yeah, for real hockey, they feel like their center depth is kind of lacking. So that, yeah, Wennberg is one of the players I've heard New York's in on.
But Wennberg, my goodness, I don't know who that opens up in terms of playing time, slots, spots on that Kraken team. Like, is that Beniers?
Probably it could be more ice time for Beniers, Gord.
Gord, right? Yeah. Schwartz?
Who's their second overall?
Oh my.
Shane Wright.
Okay. Man, this actually might be.
Yeah, I wonder if we see Shane Wright like get called up now from Coachella.
I don't know if you target Shane Wright, honestly. I don't know if I would ever suggest to a listener to do that, but watch list him if he ever gets. Like, it's also if he gets 10 minutes a night, that doesn't matter. If he gets like 16 minutes a night, I would definitely, you know, on a good schedule, like, consider.
I'm just saying, like, the guys that may get more minutes, it's definitely not going to be Shane Wright. They probably, if they call him up, maybe they play him sheltered minutes, but it's the guys like McCann, Gord, that probably see more Beniers, center-wise, that get more minutes.
Okay, so Elvis Merzlikins, he's out with an upper body injury. I didn't see how long they...
It said soreness, but like we said before the show, I'm hoping it's soreness from packing his bags.
For trade-related purposes, indeed. Yeah, so if he actually does get traded, one... I hope to God it's a better team than Columbus. I guess it's pretty unlikely it's a worse team than Columbus.
That's not hard to do. That's a low bar. No.
But the other one, too, might be value for Tarasov, right? Tarasov goes from a 1A, 1B setup to an immediate starter.
He's now the guy.
Yeah.
I think Jack Greaves, which is a badass name, by the way, probably now the backup.
Yeah, and I would say, if anything, all that shifts in your mindset would be Tarasov as your, I need an immediate bulk starter in Columbus, if... Merzlikins was to be traded by the deadline.
And then Tyler Seguin remains out with a lower body injury. I think Wyatt Johnson's been the beneficiary of that outage.
I think Wyatt Johnston, he's a young guy. I just don't remember if he's a rookie this season.
I don't think so. I think I remember hearing his name a season or two ago, and it was like, oh, put him on your watch list. And I don't think last year he did anything.
I would definitely say... sorry about Tyler Seguin's. It's brutal that he's out with a lower body injury, but fire up your Wyatt Johnston's. Would there be any other names aside from Wyatt Johnston?
I mean, if he didn't already have Duchesne, I would say Duchesne probably, they lean on him more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, and the last one, I guess, for our injury news would be Josh Norris has, he has been out for the last little bit, but he's now been officially moved onto long-term IR. If you need a centerman, there is now a spot opened up. Shane Pinto, right? He's back from his gambling-related suspension, and he's been playing red hot on fire.
Dude, yeah. I think, what did we say? It was like line one with Tkachuk and Tarasenko, something like that. Definitely a good place you want to be, especially. I think Ottawa, we said, had one of the better schedules for weeks 23 to 25 playoffs.
Center is a pretty deep position as well, so it might not be game breaking if you don't take Shane Pinto, but you know, it just monitor the schedule. He's probably one of the only centers on the Senators that would be available for you to pick up at this point, right? Like who's the other center? Claude Giroux and
I think they played Giroux in the wing, so it'd be Stu would have been drafted. Oh my gosh, that one guy, Grieg.
Oh, yeah, Ridley Grieg. Yeah, right, Ridley Grieg.
Yeah, so right now down the center, we got Pinto, Stu, Grieg, and Kostelic. I have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
Probably a call-up.
Yeah, probably. But if you're thinking about those centermen, right, like you're not going to grab that call-up that Alan mentioned that literally just skipped my mind. Grieg might be available in your league, but I don't even think Grieg gets more minutes than Pinto. So you're basically thinking it's either Stu, who's already drafted, and Pinto, who is new, and Norris literally just got hurt. So Pinto slots in as the number two guy, and if he's getting, like, you know, line one centerman, geez, that's even better.
Biggest news story now, going into storylines of the last 24 hours, Lindy Ruff is out as the Devils head coach. Associate coach Travis Green is the new interim coach for the rest of the season. It sounds like he's already coming in swinging a big stick. Like, he moved Holtz to fourth line. Simon Nemec was, a healthy scratch tonight. Like, he's holding people accountable. We'll see. I don't think the Devils have been officially eliminated, but statistically, their road is not looking pretty.
Has that hard swing stick worked, though? They still lost. I mean, mind you,
this is only in the last 24 hours. I think they played the Panthers tonight. Like, come on. Like, you're not going to expect the new coach bump in a game like that. Yeah.
Immediately defeat all the top teams just by the Lindy Ruff firing. Now that he's gone, I don't know who the next guy they're going to blame is. Like, truthfully, that team is just reasonably let in way too many goals for
it. I think this is, again, another team where the coach was the easiest needle to move, and now he's gone. Because, I mean, come on, how long has Dougie been in LTIR? How long have they known that they had that cap space to use? They could have gone out and got in a goalie or a defenseman to help.
Like, geez, at the end of the day, like, you look there, they have, what, 219 goals against?
I don't know if it was just this season or maybe cumulatively in his time with the New Jersey Devils, but they're, like, their save percentage was like 890-ish. It was not good.
890? Why are they firing their head coach then when their goaltending coach seems like another good, easy target there?
Well, again, in hockey, man, that's the easiest needle to move. And, I mean, they're a little late to jump on and try to get that new coach bump. Yeah. There we go. New Jersey goaltenders owned an .890 save percentage during his near four-season tenure.
Oh, God.
31st in the NHL.
Oh, God. I don't know what's worse, the fact that he's 31st or the fact that there somehow was a head coach that had a worse record than him. Now, on a more positive storyline note, Elias Pettersson, he has re-signed with the Canucks. He has signed an 8-year, $11.6 million deal. Man, I'm sure Manny Kay would have had more comments. And yeah, but what are your thoughts, Alan?
So this is really interesting. Just listening to a few real hockey pods in the last 24 hours. The Lindholm trade was done as a contingency in case Pettersson didn't sign. And then now that that's happened, I'm starting to hear rumblings of Lindholm getting flipped
again
to another team. Yes. I guess partially because it sounds like he's not quite rah-rah getting on board team spirit. so they feel like, yeah, they may want to flip him. Boston is the destination I've heard, which, yeah, fuck, they need a 1C. I guess the question is, what pieces does Boston have
that would to trade with at this point? So game-breaking if they got Lindholm. But yeah, I don't know who they could trade for him. Like, frick.
Right?
Trent Frederick? I mean,
their cupboard's pretty bare.
Yeah.
Like, well, it'd probably be picks and prospects, whatever they have.
Picks and prospects, yeah. I mean, that's the other part where... yes, they're on opposite sides of the conference, but then would you want to strengthen a team that you could feasibly face later on?
Well, that's a problem for the future Canucks. Oh, man, could you imagine that rematch? Vancouver versus Boston Cup final?
Yeah.
And the city of Vancouver burns again?
Oh, man, it would.
And then, yeah, first of many trades we'll probably talk about this week. Anthony Mantha to Vegas Golden Knights for a second and fourth round pick. I couldn't see what years they were, so I assume they're 24. Washington is retaining 50%. I assume that's what the fourth is for. With Stone out, I mean, maybe Mantha sniffs some top six time. I don't see him cracking whatever the quote top power play is there. I've already speculatively grabbed him in our listener league.
Do you think this gives fuel to the fire that Stone's injury might actually be legitimate and not, you know, just cap circumcision?
I love to repeat that meme, but lacerated spleen, man, come on. You don't joke about that at all. And I'm sure, like, that's easy to prove to doctors. And especially after, you know, Tampa, the OGs of cap circumcision. You know, I'm sure that they're watching that very carefully. So yeah, let's look at the schedule ahead for the weekend. Your Friday, Sunday sweet spot teams are Anaheim, Arizona, and Minnesota. Your Friday only teams are Colorado, Dallas, Detroit, Seattle, and Winnipeg. And then Sunday, Calgary, Carolina, Chicago, Edmonton, Nashville, New York Islanders, and Pittsburgh. Streamers, Nick Schmaltz, I know we said it in the week preview, bring it up again. Center right wing, 30% owned, 4 points in his last two games, 7 points in his last five, line one, power play one, definitely the guy. But if he's already taken, Matthias Michelli, left wing, 15%. He's currently on a 6-game, 8-point streak, line two, power play one. And now this is where it gets a little hazy because we're putting this episode out on a Wednesday. Trade deadline is Friday. Adam Henrik on the Ducks, good stream as long as he stays on the Ducks. He's a big rumored trade target. But if he moves, it looks like currently Max Jones is line one, power play one-ish. I know they're kind of splitting the power plays pretty evenly. He is less than 1% owned. He's got 4 points in his last four. And then surprisingly, I didn't think this guy be as available as he is. Teuvo Teravainen, Carolina left wing, right wing, 34%. Line one with Aho and I think it's Jarvis. Line with Aho. Power play two. He has 4 points in his last four. I mean, and we know it's Carolina team. That deployment could change on a dime. But at least it seems like he's doing good things again. Goalies, Wedgwood, on Dallas, probably sees Anaheim on Friday. James Reimer. As far as I know, Billy Huso's still out. So it's Lyon Reimer. Could just see the start against Arizona on Friday. And then a couple of guys, if you can fit him in on Saturday. Kevin Lankinen on Nashville. Wouldn't be surprised if they give him the game versus Columbus. And then Calvin Pickard probably sees Buffalo on Saturday. But big boy bangers. Matt Dumba, once again, tooting the horn, although he's another guy that could be on the move. 7% defenseman from Arizona. One hit in his last game, but previous to that, he's averaging about 2-4. Kiefer Sherwood on Nashville, left wing, 1% owned. 2-3 hits and gets you some shots as well. And then another defenseman, Jonas Brodin on Minnesota, 9% block specialist, but also shoots. And then I'll hand it over to Jay for some strategy.
Yeah, I know Matty K hates positive regression, but Matt Dumba, if he gets one hit in the last game, is he going to get?
Right, he'll come out swinging. Or he's saving himself for whichever team he gets moved to.
True, either way, just monitor, Friday, right? Friday, March 8th, that's trade deadline day. If you want a team in week 21 from Thursday through to Sunday that plays 3 games on 4 nights, we'll go through the first Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. That gives you 3 games in 4 nights, as well as 2 off night, Thursday, Friday back to back, as well as a Friday, Sunday off night. 2 teams there, Arizona, Minnesota. So we'll go with Arizona first. Lawson Crouse, 41%. He's left right wing eligible. Gets line 2, power play 2. Also with him on.
Also bangs.
Also on that line 2, power play 2, is Nick Bjugstad. He's at 12% owned. He centers that line. So that second line and power play 2 line has 2 great options. Lawson Crouse, Nick Bjugstad. I think also Barrett Hayton. He comes to mind right now. He's probably also a line one center, power play one as well. And aside from those guys, look at that net situation in Arizona right now, because there's two guys, right? So Connor Ingram started hot. Unfortunately, since Connor Ingram has left the goalie whispering hands of Allen, Connor Ingram has done some serious Jekyll and Hyde work. And he went from basically an 80% owned guy to a 59% owned guy, rightfully so according to his play. And now he's in a situation where with the 14-game losing skid, Arizona decide to try other things. And Kirill Vejmelka, actually, he's coming off back-to-back starts and back-to-back wins. And so tonight is a big night for the Arizona Coyotes against Chicago, but it's also a big game for Connor Ingram, because right now if Ingram loses this game, or like either one, right? Like, I think a good showing is needed no matter what, but imagine he gets blown out. It is entirely possible that they're going to throw it back to Kirill Vejmelka. If you jump over to Mini, I'm going to preface this by saying it's a hard team to stream, but first you're going to check a couple of names. You're going to check Brock Faber, 52%. I know he's getting D1 power play 1. He's probably not available, right? Like 52% still means more than half of...
I'd say that ownership's come down a lot. He is slumping hard lately.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, even that firefight between Minnesota and Vancouver, where he factored into nothing with like 25-30 minutes of ice time.
And it's brutal, because I think on Reddit, I read as well, people were saying, I think it's those minutes just adding up, right? Like you...
Yeah. Especially as a rookie.
You reasonably can't play just 27 minutes a night. Like, just ask Seth Jones. Where's the ghost of Seth Jones been ever since that game where he played like 60 minutes against Tampa and lost, right? Like, that takes things out of a soul. So, like, reasonably Brock Faber, like, you're looking now to, I mean, he doesn't score or do anything, but he definitely does stuff peripherally. So, that's brutal. The past few games have been really tough.
No, yeah, I don't think he does much in the way he hits. Hits and blocks for you. You pick him up for the deployment.
For the deployment. So you're banking on the fact that at 52%, he's going to continue getting that deployment, and you think his production is going to turn and rebound onward. If you're impatient, which I would advise managers to be impatient at this point, he's probably not the guy you hang your hat on and live and die on. So you could probably see if there's someone else available. Other players to suggest on Mini are going to be hard as well, though, because they don't have many streamable value production players. All those production value guys are taken, right? There's Jeek, Kaprizov, Boldy, and I guess I would have said Faber before, but now it's pretty much just those guys, right? Kaprizov, Jeek, Boldy, and then I guess Filip Gustavsson and net. But aside from that, you're really looking at power play two guys. You're looking at other guys that aren't going to get that same deployment, and that team again is very forward heavy, driven from those top three dudes.
That's why I didn't realize how many guys they had out. Like Zuccarello's out, Marcus Johansson's out. Like it gets
Foligno is out.
Team
oh,
real
man.
Quick.
It is. Yeah, it's a tough time. It's a tough time, especially for a team looking to win their last few games of the season so they can make it to the dance. Like this is a desperate team, but it's going to be a top heavy team. So that's the only other problem. They do, however, have a great week 21 weekend schedule. So if we're gonna rattle off some names aside from the aforementioned Brock Faber, Jake Middleton is a potential guy to consider. He's gotten 62 games, he's gotten 127 hits and 130 blocks. So he basically averages 2 blocks and 2 hits every single game. I guess there's Ryan Hartman. He gets line 2, power play 2, center right wing eligible, 22% ownership. If you're staying with some power play 2 guys, there's, again, your mentioned Jonas Brodin, 9%, D2 PP2. And then there's a PP1 guy. I'm scrolling down here, and it looks like there's Marco Rossi. So he's line 2, power play 1, center, 6% ownership. So now, speaking of other teams and strategies to move on to, if you are going for the other 3 games in 4 nights setup, you want the Thursday, Saturday, Sunday setup. So obviously it's 2 heavy nights and only 1 Sunday off night, but you have a fair few. Calgary, Edmonton, Nashville, Pittsburgh, Carolina. So in Calgary, I guess we'll run through some of these teams, right? Calgary, you want Mikhail Backlund. Line 1, power play 2, captain, center, Igor Sharangovich, 34%, fantasy unicorn, center, left wing, and right wing eligible. He plays on the third line, but he gets power play 1 time. Jonathan Huberdeau, 42% owned, center, left wing eligible, also on the third line, also playing power play 1. I would say Huberdeau, right? Like, think back with gloried eyes onto the 115-point season.
I mean, is he really power play or line 3 now? That's gross.
He's definitely gone. Like, I even looked at his play, and I don't think necessarily he's getting less shifts. I just think he's getting short shifts, if anything. Like, he definitely still contributes in the limited time. It just feels like his time is definitely, like, shortening. Looks like he's getting power play 1 minutes and also line 1 minutes. 25 shifts in his past game. Mind you as well, I guess just looking over on the list here, Kuzmenko, I would definitely check as well to see if he's owned up and available. I know in our league, Kadri hung around on the wire because our league, obviously with centers, is like hard to slot in. Kadri was hanging around for a bit. Now he's all owned up. One more player I will mention is Martin Pospisil. So at 6% ownership, center right wing eligible, he gets no power play time and he's only line 2. But the guy is insane. He had, 34 hits in the past 5 games? Like, these are disgusting numbers. Like, pinball numbers. More importantly to mention, he's due to be at a hearing for boarding Vince Dunn in the past game against the Seattle Kraken on Monday. I saw the replay on Reddit. It looked pretty... It didn't look...
That's gross. Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, there is one of those, like, there's no way that was a hockey play. Yeah. Like, just... straight charged him.
Yeah, if you want to go, like, you know, on the deep end of, like, looking at it negatively, it was rather sinister and, like, malicious. If he ends up getting his hearing and he's put out or day-to-day, definitely throw him quickly onto your IR Plus so you don't lose, I guess, access to him once he serves his suspension, if he gets suspended.
I guess it depends on how Yahoo classifies suspension. I know some years it's been you can't do anything with it. He just occupies an active spot on your roster. I think in the Listener League this year, I think you could slot him in NA.
Right.
Or maybe like IR Plus. So try it. If Yahoo lets you do it, try it.
Right. And definitely it's those two where you need to monitor it in the sense that Yahoo might put him in 1 and then quickly change him hours later. So if you put him in, if you monitor it and he's, let's say, put as O, right? Or What's the other one? I guess if he's playing an SUSP, you're pretty screwed. Like
you can't do anything. Yeah.
But if he's put in NA or he's put in O, then you can chuck him into your IR plus or chuck him into your NA slot. Mind you, this is almost like advanced strategy where because you can't.
We're galaxy braining like Yahoo. This is no right. Most leagues you won't have people who will try this.
No, and further, I would say you are taking away abilities for you as a manager as well, since you can't move other players on your roster so long as you have ineligible players put in different spots. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to the Edmonton Oilers, and we have also reached this stage of the campaign where Matthias Ekholm has reached and even eclipsed the 50% ownership mark. I think currently he's at 54%, which means, again, that's kind of our cutoff mark for mentioning streamers. Just goes to show that the Edmonton Oilers are this year's version of last season's Colorado Avalanche. Last season, Colorado in 22-23 just had an incredible playoff schedule. They played all on off nights. They were the team to own running into the playoffs. This season, that team is the Edmonton Oilers. Everyone is pretty, I would say, largely speaking, your team and winning is determined by how many Oilers and top Oilers you own and possess. I would even say, like, if you can grab the scraps, grab them. I'll list out the scraps here too, right? So there's Warren Fogle, 9% owned, left, right wing eligible, line 3, power play 2. If you count faceoffs in your league, maybe you can consider Ryan McLeod, 1% center, line 3, but he doesn't get any power play time. Again, only if it's a faceoffs league. Corey Perry, right? Recently signed, 7% right wing, line 3, power play 2. If you are looking in your league and you don't have Edmonton Oilers, your best chance and shot is probably to go all out and try to beat that team in the semis. They're not going to fall and falter with a 4-game Edmonton Oilers slate.
And I will say, Edmonton is a team that's supposedly looking for a middle six winger. So whoever ends up there is absolutely someone to keep an eye on, because it sounds like they want to put him on the second line with Draisaitl.
100%. My goodness. Another team that's on the up and definitely on fire recently is Nashville. So the aforementioned Jeremy Lauzon, everyone else that we described that was getting 180-odd hits, you know, in like 60-odd games. Yeah, Jeremy Lauzon's at a cool 292 hits. He's going to crest 300 in the next few games. And yeah,
he's the league leader, right? Like, I haven't checked recently, but I feel like he's got, ever since they did that audit, like, he's far and above the league leader.
There is no one close. Like, he's at 292 and 62. Garnet Hathaway's played an extra game and is at 235. So yeah, there's no one else even remotely in the same stratosphere as Jeremy Lauzon in terms of hits. Man, I'm even going to say Garnet Hathaway. Like, this is a juicy amount of hits he's got, too. But the only thing is,
well, even in, I think, what was it? He was from the Capitals. Like, he banged a lot in that team.
Absolutely. Colton Sissons, a 10% owned, line 2, power play 2. It's more for the schedule. I know he's got two heavy nights and only the Sunday off night and the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back. But again, it is 3 games in 4 nights for Colton Sissons. Tommy Novak is in the exact same boat. He's basically everything, I guess, like slightly worse. Oh, actually, no, he gets power play 1 time. So he's 5% owned, center, line 3, power play 1. And then there's another guy, I guess, that's kind of like Jeremy Lauzon light. There's Cole Smith. He's 4% owned, left wing, line 4. He has 188 hits in 61 games, so he averages 3 hits a night. The next team is going to be Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, we have 2 line 1 power play 1 guys that are worth mentioning immediately here. I can't believe, like, the first one, I understand, Rickard Rakell, 40%, right wing, line 1, power play 1. The other guy is crazy, Lars Eller, he's at 2% owned. Center, line 1, power play 1. I don't know where they're slotting him in, because obviously Crosby...
Left wing on Crosby.
Oh, jeez.
Which sucks, because who knows when if Yahoo will update that.
Right, yeah, because I was like, Lars Eller, like, this is good value, but, like, in the deepest
position.
He's
a centerman, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, he's getting line 1, power play 1, so, oh, my goodness, this is valuable. Riley Smith is the guy I thought would have gotten that left wing alongside them, but I guess not. He must be on line 2. Yeah, so he's line 2, power play 2, 22% owned. And Valtteri Puustinen is also getting he's line two, power play one on the right wing. So I looked at that schedule as well to see for goalie suggestions for Ned, functionally for streaming Ned, but I don't think Pittsburgh has an especially beautiful weekend schedule. I'm just glancing up here. Yeah, they face Boston and the Oilers, who literally just grinded out like a 2-1 like barn buster tonight. So I think, I don't know if I want to suggest streaming Nedeljkovic for the red hot Edmonton Oilers, but if you need a goalie who's probably likely to get a ton of shot volume, yeah, you probably could consider Ned for Pittsburgh. And if not, you can move on to our next team, which is Carolina. And so Carolina's got a couple of streamers to suggest. I would say first, if you're in a faceoffs league, consider Jordan Staal. He's 6% owned. He only gets line three, no power play time, but again, he's just in a faceoffs league. For Jacob Slavin, he's at 32%. He's a D1 pairing, no power play time. Teuvo Teravainen, as Alan mentioned before, 34%, left wing, right wing eligible, line one, power play two. And Michael Bunting, right? Like 26% owned, left wing, line two, power play one. I feel like I forget about Michael Bunting each time, but honestly, he doesn't score and do and produce enough for me to remember him distinctly. And finally, monitor that goalie situation. I know Freddie's been skating for what feels like forever, ever since he's been on a long-term IR. But yeah, he's skating now, but I feel like we've been saying that for a while. Kochetkov's still been getting starts pretty much week in, week out. And Ronta, I feel like, is forever day-to-day. So just monitor the situation and check to see, unless you're Alan, who already has goalies, both in current starters and on the...
Hey, I drafted Freddie, and I have just had the fortune of not needing that IR spot for someone else, so I have held him all season.
Oh, absolutely, it's true. There are other strategies as well in Week 21 weekends, so there's the off nights as well. So there's Friday, Sunday, the two off nights. Arizona, Minnesota, and Anaheim all have the Friday-Sunday off night, but we've mentioned Arizona and Minnesota streamers already, so we'll just move on into Anaheim. Adam Henrique, he's 39% center-left wing, line one, power play two, but again, as Alan mentioned, it really depends on how that trade rolls through. Another player to monitor at 43% owned is Troy Terry, right wing, line two, power play one. Kemp Fowler, he's D1 pairing, power play one. He's only 29% owned. Pavel Minchikov gets power play one as well, 14% owned, D2 pairing. There's a line one power play one here. I couldn't believe it, but a 14% owned Alex Killorn. He's dual wing eligible. And again, monitor the goalie situation with Anaheim. I know this team loses a ton. They concede goals and leak goals a ton, but currently John Gibson is only 36% owned, and he's, you know, a bonafide starter. And then also he's day-to-day right now, so I think it was an illness, so it remains to be seen if he's going to play on Wednesday, and maybe he's just, you know, back from the sniffles, and he's all good to go.
Be nice if it was for trade reasons, but I don't think... It sounds like the goalie seller and buyer market has contracted quickly in the last week.
Oh, man. It'd be so great if they made like a meme or like a literal trade injury where it's like, you know, like strained biceps, like lifted too many boxes.
From lifting his bags.
Something. But either way, it's worth monitoring the Anaheim goalie situation because one, if John Gibson doesn't get traded, actually, if John Gibson does get traded, it's still worth monitoring because he's probably going to go to a team that needs goaltending. And in that case, if he were to get moved, Lucas Dostal at 6% is an immediate own. Just jacks up all the way with him getting all the starts. And then we're going to go to some quick back-to-backs. So Thursday, Friday, back-to-back, Arizona and Minnesota. So Arizona, really, if you haven't figured out by this point, is the big team to own, like this weekend. So there's a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. And so there's three teams here, Dallas, Detroit, Winnipeg. Dallas, we talked about, there's Wyatt Johnston, look for him. Mason Marchment, look for them. Both of those guys are just under 50% owned and power play two guys. Yanni Hakanpää is a guy, he's a bangers guy, really. A bangers relevant guy that you can check. 12% ownership, he only gets D2, but he's what, 172 hits in 58 games, so just under three hits a night. Alan mentioned again the goalie situation, so the back-to-back Wedgewood should get the Saturday game as well, so monitor him. For Detroit, you have Ben Chiarot, Michael Rasmussen, Jake Walman, David Perron, all these guys are like Ben Sherratt and Michael Rasmussen are like under 10% owned. Jake Wallman and Dave Perron are both, and JT Comfort, all three of those guys, Jake Wallman, David Perron, JT Comfort, all those guys are under 30% owned. And they're owned for different purposes, right? Like Jake Wallman, get him for blocks if you need blocks. David Perron, get him for the power play two and left wing, right wing deployment. JT Compher is a similar setup. He's basically everything the same that Perron gets. He's just line two, power play two, so they both get power play two time. Also monitor as well the fact that Detroit has Larkin out. So if Larkin's out, one of those guys is going to slot up into line one center. Let's go on to Winnipeg. So Winnipeg has Sean Monahan, Nino Niederreiter, Alex Iafallo. Like, all these guys are getting either power play one or power play two time. I would say Sean Monahan is the big name at 38%. Like, you want access to that power play. Alex Iafallo is another good value, a sneaky value stream with 3%. Left, right wing eligible. Yeah, like, it really depends how long Gabe Vilardi's out. But yeah, Iafallo is definitely good value on Winnipeg there. Also, Laurent Brossoit, right? Like, he gets the back half of the Friday-Saturday back-to-back. So I don't even know who Winnipeg faces that week. They face Vancouver. Oh, geez. Okay, talk about throwing him to the fire, but...
Yeah, it's like, that could be anything at this point. The PDO is catching up with Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm like, that game could be Laurent Brossoit, negative 12 points or 20 points if they get the win.
Like 35 save shutout.
Right, who knows? Like, nobody knows. But he gets the start, most likely, so we'll see what happens. And for the Saturday-Sunday starts, Saturday-Sunday back-to-back, that's our last back-to-back, you have Calgary, Chicago, Edmonton, Nashville, Pittsburgh, and Carolina. You notice there's a lot of repeated teams here, right? Calgary, Edmonton, Nashville, Pittsburgh, Carolina, all those teams. We covered their streamers earlier. You can swing back and listen to them if you want. The new team on the block is going to be Chicago, right? So Chicago, we're going to break down a couple of their players. Just grab Nick Foligno. Connor Bedard is back. He's on the line one. He's on line one, power play one. So is Nick Foligno. You want the guy, I guess, not anchoring, but on the wing to riding shotgun together with Connor Bedard. You also have Jason Dickinson. I know he's kind of only, like, maybe in a face-offs league relevant now that Bedard is back. But he's still available at 5%. Line 2 gets power play 2 time. And then you're looking at goalies, really, right? Peter Mrazek, 31%. He's going to get bulk starts all the way through, especially this week. But notably this week, Chicago plays two pairs of back-to-backs, which means not only is it good to... I guess, play Mrazek, you also have Arvid Soderblom options available. Now, I have to mention this because Alan mentioned it in the pre-setup to the show. He's 2% owned. He has two wins all season, and Alan, who'd he beat?
Toronto, both times.
It's incredible. Obviously, it's just the memes write themselves. But in general, pencil in any future Arvid Soderblom starts against Toronto. Evidently, somehow, some way, it's just the team. He is the bogey goalie against Toronto for some reason.
We're going to go ahead and park the van cab for the night and wrap the show. As always, we ask you trade targets to like, subscribe, and leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. You can also like and follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that info is in the show notes. And if you haven't already, come join us on the Fivehole Discord, over 2,500 users, talking fantasy or whatever floats your boat for the rest of the season. Remember, join us on Sit Start Saturdays, 11 to noon Eastern, on our YouTube channel. Good luck and good hockey this weekend, and thanks for listening.
We'll pick you up later.